Do you think it was something we said?
Well, it can't have been something I said, surely. What did you do?
Do you think it was something I said?
Mm.
It's quite likely, isn't it? Oh, well. Hi, everyone. Hello there, friends, and welcome back to another episode of Football Manager Therapy. I am your host, Rich Owens, and joining me today, we have the one, the only, my close personal friend from real life of all things as well. We're both wearing blue hats because we're dead, dead cool. It's Kev. It's the United City FM. How are you this morning, pal?
Hello, my friend. It's a good job I could show up, isn't it?
Yeah, it really does help. It really helps.
I really don't know what you said, but it must have been dreadful. But, you know, okay, I know. It's fine. I'm doing all right, thank you. Everybody, there are a couple of things I'd like to say. One, it's been a fairly chilled out week, which you'll know from listening to me recently, that's a good thing. And secondly, can I just say at this point, really early in the podcast, several people have reached out to me this week through various sources, catching up and asking how I'm doing and saying how much they appreciated last week's pod and all sorts of other bits and pieces, which was really, really lovely. So thank you very much for that. I am doing all right. It has been a fairly chilled out week and onwards we move. How about yourself, Rich? How's your week been?
Very similar to you, if I'm brutally honest with you, pal. Just calm and quiet. As people know, I work in education in some vague capacity, so we are collectively counting down the minutes to half term, starting in just over a week's time. So yes, thriving, not surviving. That's where I've been this week. It's been lovely. And I'm glad you mentioned last week's pod, because again, the feedback from people about last week's podcast has been genuinely wonderful. When I've been streaming, I know when Jeb and when Callum have been as well, people have been mentioning it. It was really, really lovely, especially from yourself, Kev. It was just a really, really nice. It was just a really candid conversation, and you're open and you're honest and you were articulate. And I'm glad that it's been a calmer week for you, pal.
Yeah, me too. And it had all four of us on there. Take that in, people, because it might not happen for a while. Who knows?
Oh, drink it in, boys. Drink it in. That was lovely. It was such a nice thing. You know, I used the phrase just before we started recording this week's podcast, even though it's just us two. There's no such thing as just us two, Kev. There's no such thing. But it was lovely. It's lovely to have everybody back. I think it's, you know, just trying to schedule anything like this around four adults who all have lives. It's really, really hard. It's really, really hard work. But when it happens, it's a magical, magical thing. And when it doesn't happen, it's still okay, because I still get to spend time with somebody wonderful. So it's all good.
Yeah.
Oh,
right. That'll do. Yeah. See you next week, everybody.
Cheers, everybody. Bye-bye. And so on and so forth. That's it. The theme tune goes like that.
I can stick around for another 5 minutes. It's fine.
Shall we just make the most of this time that we've got together? Shall we make the most of it? Speaking of the theme tune, Kev, just before we get into all the
bits and pieces, it just is.
First of all, it's brilliant. Secondly, I know we talk about them quite a lot, and it feels at this point like we're milking it and like, you know, we're just fanboys or something. But, you know, D-Boy Plays.
I do know of D-Boy Plays, absolutely. Yeah, he is the boy who plays.
He is, hence the name. It's clever branding, very clever branding. When he streams, he's got a Channel Point Redemption where he just picks up his guitar and people say, play this song, and he just starts playing it. And it's wonderful because D is a very competent musician. Some might even go as far as to say, Kev, as good. Oof. He's actually dead good at music. He's done what I wish I had done, where he's started learning an instrument and gone, oh, I've got a bit of a knack to this. I reckon I could do quite well at it. And then he stuck to it, whereas I, with so many things in my life, have gone, oh, I want to learn a new thing. And I learn how to do it in the most basic, just rinky-dink fashion. I'm like, oh, yeah, that'll do now. I'm fine. I can play the guitar. Somebody Channel Point redeemed on his stream this week when I was watching. And he played the song that they asked him to play. And then he just starts playing the FMT theme tune. And it sounded amazing. It's like, beep, 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 beep. I got so excited.
Wow.
It's rare that I'm watching somebody stream and I actually just get a little bit giddy. I'm like, mm-hmm. This is wonderful. And there it was. There it
Amazing.
Was.
Amazing. That's so very cool.
Thank you so much. Thank you for just making my day. I really, really enjoyed it when he
so, did. So what I've heard from that is you can go onto his stream and request any piece of music and he'll play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. What can we get him to do? 1812 Overture, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony.
I reckon he's got it in his locker somewhere. I reckon. Yeah, the whole thing.
There's your challenge, viewers. Go and find D-Boy and ask him for the most random stuff this week just for the sake of it and see what he can produce. Because I'm sure you're right. He'll find a way.
He'll smash it out. He'll smash it out because that's just what he does.
Can I take this moment also to publicly apologise to D-Boy Plays for all of that? Sorry, but just couldn't help myself.
It's a question that's worth asking, though, isn't it? It's absolutely a question that's worth asking. Can D play Beethoven? Probably is going to be the answer, isn't it? Yeah, it's more than likely. More than likely. Wonderful. No, he's great. He's great.
He is really just cool.
Just hearing it. Just hearing somebody doing it. It's one of those weird little things where, you know, you host a podcast and you're on a podcast and it's people listen, and that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you know, the fact that we get lovely audience engagement in general is great. Yep. But when you just hear little bits of what you do just creeping into other people's like realities, like, okay. Oh, that's nice. And you just it's a nice feeling. It's a really, that's really nice feeling.
But yeah. Rich, has he recorded at Abbey Road Studios?
He should have done. He really should have done. But he absolutely should have done. I mean, it could be coming up for him at this point. Who knows?
Now, you see, I know that I haven't. Obviously, I mean, you...
I have. Oh. I have. Which is, look at me go. Well, since you bring it up, Kev, yes, I have. It's very nice of you to mention it. I have.
Well, you know, all of this lovely praise for some musical talents of, you know, D-Boy and other things. Let's not beat about the bush here. You've recorded at Abbey Road Studios, so you know.
Well, you know, there is that. Yeah, that is a thing that has happened. But I think it was.
Where is the FM band? For goodness sake, people, sort this out.
Exactly.
You know.
Yes.
There must be somebody who can play a triangle out there, for goodness sake.
Oh, yeah. There must be a keen trianglist.
I think, if anybody else official has got musical any title. Instruments they play, let us know. And at some point, we'll get a live event together where we'll get the FM band to play, for goodness sake. We've got to do it at some point.
I think it's actually a really good idea. I think it's a really, really good idea. I'm now incredibly invested in this happening. I think it would be great. I think D's in. I think I'm in.
There must be a drummer somewhere.
There's got to be a drummer out there somewhere. There has to be a drummer. Right, if you play Football Manager and play the drums competently, let us know. Like, hop on the Discord and drop us a message. Just if you're watching this on YouTube, just in the little comments underneath, I play the drums. Here's the thing as well, we won't ask for proof. We'll just believe you.
No, absolutely. You're in. Yeah,
it's just how it works. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no
And then they show up and they say, I was right, I do play the drums. I don't have any. But I do play them. Have you got any? No.
Could I borrow your drum kit? Yeah. I've just always fancied a go. It's very, very similarly to in terms of like if you're on an aeroplane and they come out and say, is there anybody on the plane who knows how to fly a plane? You might as well put your hand up and have a go. Very similar to this. Like, do you play just, I play drums. Yeah, go on then.
It's probably a better conversation to have in an aeroplane about flying the plane rather than can you play the drums? Because nobody wants that on an aeroplane, do they?
No, nobody wants that on the air. No, nobody wants that. Maybe, no. I'd rather have the back of my seat kicked and loads of crying babies than somebody just for the whole journey. No, terrible idea. Terrible idea. Football Manager, Kev.
Talk about Rich.
What is it that we do on this podcast? It's something therapy. Right. Football Manager therapy.
Football Manager therapy. Yeah.
Have you ever played it before, Kev? It's quite good. Well, I've heard good things.
Once or twice. Yeah.
Have you been playing it over the last week by any chance, Kev?
Do you know, it's weird you say that because I mean this will surprise you. But yes, I have. It's, you know, I mean, to be totally truthful, if you'd asked me for the couple of weeks before that, no, I hadn't. But, you know, that's the way it works.
I've timed it well then. I've done very well there.
I have been playing some Football Manager this week. Now, I keep mine, my Football Manager playing to my live streams to keep it all fresh and make me want to play it and keep me invested and all that stuff. So I've been streaming too, which gives you the double whammy. What can you say? But yes, I have. What about you? Have you played any this week?
I've played a bit this week. I've played a little bit of Football Manager this week. I've played some Football Manager with you. I played. I think we clicked the menus. We clicked the menus for about 3.5 hours. But
yeah, I did kind of have an evening on the network save where continue. Pause and wait for people to make deals in the background. Yep. Continue.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Roy Keane and then listen to Colton Palmer attempt to say words, and it doesn't really work very well, but, you know,
he tries. He really does try.
And yeah, that seemed to be most of my network save, if I'm totally honest, this week, but it was still lovely being with you guys.
Oh, it was great. It was a lovely experience. I had a cracking time pressing continue. That was grand.
Yep.
But Solo, I hear that there's a rumor that you've made your glorious return to Twitch now, and you've been rolling in them there aisles.
I have, yes. Mm. It's something that I like to do, Rich, you know, just rolling.
And so on. So if we can't say any more than that, otherwise we get sued.
No, I know. Yeah.
We're not allowed. sorry, Fred, if you're listening.
Sorry.
It's okay. How are the aisles, Kev? How are the aisles treating you?
It's good. So I am doing a British Isles Journeyman series called Rolling in the Isles, because it's a British Isles Journeyman series. So we do lots of rolling in lots of aisles, and it's all lovely. Mm-hmm. So I would say that because of my January being so weird and random and problematic, there were big gaps in my January schedule where I didn't stream for a few days here and there. And so it slowed down a bit recently in terms of what I've been able to do. But this week we were back. So currently I am in season number 4 of my Rolling in the Isles save. The simple thought of Rolling in the Isles is that you start with no coaching badges. You start with Sunday League experience. You have to apply for every job you get. And the attempt is to build up the reputation of your manager rolling around the Isles till they get to one Champions League final, and win it or lose it, that becomes the end of the save. So that's the challenge ahead of me. So start with no coaching badges. I've already started to work towards my second coaching badge in the save. So we're moving that. That's good. We started at Hampton and Richmond in the 6th tier of English football. They sacked their manager in the first season. I applied for it, got it, spent 2 seasons with them. Didn't really feel that connected to the club. It was all right. It was a good starting point. They gave me a coaching badge through the time I had with them. Sat in, you know, mid-table-ish for a couple of seasons. They didn't have the finances, reputation, etc., compared to the teams around them to really shift themselves particularly well. So I kind of just got a bit kind of, well, let's move on, shall we? I can do it. I'm allowed to. I can roll. It's no problem. So I quit, and I was looking, instead of going into one of those really bloated lower leagues of English football that are quite tricky to get out of at times, I feel, because there's like 24 teams in them and there's lots of games to play, etc. I felt like maybe I need to go and find a smaller league in, you know, Ireland, Wales, somewhere around there that's got 12 teams in it or something, just a little bit less stress attached to the amount of games, and see what we can do. And I found Colwyn Bay in the 2nd tier of Welsh football. Now, usually they're in the top tier. They got relegated whilst I was at Hampton and Richmond. They then had 1 season with a manager trying to get them up, and it didn't work. So they fired him. And so at the end of my 2nd season, having quit from Hampton and Richmond, went applied for the Colwyn Bay job and got it, which is great. So I was in the 2nd tier of Welsh football. And they were a reasonably good club. They were predicted to be top sort of 2 or 3 in the league that season and get back up. So there was a little bit of pressure on there, but it was a good starting point. And for the first season, it was decent. We caused ourselves a few problems along the way, probably lost a couple of bits where we shouldn't have, and just were never quite clear at the top of the table totally, but always in and around the question of can we get into that one top spot that will get us promoted.
Sure.
On the final day of the season, Rich, we managed it, but it was literally on the final day of the season. It was touch and go for a while. I think we basically had to win and somebody else had to kind of just not be able to better our result. And if we'd have won, they can't. And so therefore it would send us up. And we managed to do it on the final day of the season. So Colwyn Bay up from the second tier to the top tier in that first season was a good start. But then, of course, you're now in a higher division. You show up in their division and the preview for the season comes out and you're dead last on everything. And they're saying, you're going to have a lovely time, you. And I thought, okay, this is going to be challenging. Now, we did go out and try and attempt to better my squad with, you know, in the typical way of being in that kind of level of football with no money. We've no opportunity to go and buy players. We just chuck a few of ours out that are on a bit of a wage for nothing. And we try and find somebody for nothing that's on a little bit of a less wage than they were, but slightly better than them in some way. Yes. And that's how we try and do it, you know? And I found one particular guy that I am basing my team around and basing my season around. And it's a target forward, Rich, because of course it is.
What are you the chances?
Know, I mean, what are the chances? They're quite high, aren't they, really?
Yeah, very.
they're very, very high, it's true. So Josh Ayers came in as my target forward. Now, at this level of football, I'm not asking for a great deal. But if they've got a couple of attributes that mean they can do a particular job, but they can do it slightly better than some of the others around them, that's enough for me at this point. This guy, as my target forward, is 6'7" to start with. So, you know,
not bad.
Okay. And then the second thing you then look at, obviously, is that jumping reach, because it's vitally important. And you see that he's got a jumping reach of 17. So 6'7", 17 jumping reach. This is good. Now, the bonus on top of it, get ready for this one, Rich. This is going to blow your mind, right? Top tier of Welsh football.
Yeah.
6'7". 17 jumping reach. The cherry on top. He's got 15 in heading as well.
Oh,
he can actually head it when you jump to get there, which that is unbelievable. So I bought this guy in and I will just go and check and see. Yep, it was a free transfer because that's what I'm dealing with. So far, he's played 26 starts for me and he's got 14 goals as my secondary striker, really, because I've got a kind of pressing forward poachery type around him, just trying to work off knock-ons and all that stuff. He has been extraordinarily good and been the linchpin for what I do. The second thing that I will tell you, Rich, because for me, and there are going to be lots of people out there that go, what? But for me, this is really impactful. I'm playing a back three. Ooh, and I genuinely never play a back three. I have struggled for years in FM to get them to work properly to how I think they should, or there's been a disconnect somewhere, or I feel like we're then light on the wings because we're only playing with wing backs, not full backs and wingers, all sorts of stuff. Somehow, I'm a bit of an old guy and 4-4-2 and that type of iteration seems to work better in my head as to how to fit it all together. But when I came in, this is kind of what it looked like it was going to work best for me. And I thought to be defensively solid, chuck a big guy up there, get somebody around him that can work off of what he works with, get a bit of support from midfield and let's see what happens. And it's going pretty well. I've got one wide centre back on the left-hand side. Because I've also got an attacking wing back on that side. So he goes off and the wide centre back just goes and sits a little bit out and covers the spot. On the other side, I've just got a normal centre back because my wing back on that side isn't as attacking. So it's sort of a bit more stable. And yeah, I've got a DM sitting in front of them. And then a couple of more progressive players in midfield. And it's kind of working. Now, I always kind of knew that it must be able to work because otherwise nobody else would be using it. And for years, people were using it in and around me, but I couldn't get it to work. This time around, it's doing all right. Maybe I've found my FM24 setup. You know, maybe it's this.
Okay.
Maybe this is going to work. And maybe even in draft mode as well. I haven't really taken it into draft mode yet. We'll see what happens with that. But yeah, so we got a good enough solid squad in terms of a good first team, a couple of very young players, 16, 17-year-olds in and around the bench a bit, trying to bring a couple of them on and give them some experience. But overall, in the second season, remember we were predicted to finish bottom of the table because, you know, why not? We've just been promoted. There's a split that happens halfway through the Welsh League season where you get to 22 games and then the top six play each other for another 10 games and the bottom six play each other for another 10 games and that's how the season ends. And for a little while, I thought, well, we're going to avoid relegation here. That is my number one target. 22 games came up. We're only sitting in sixth.
Oh,
I know, right? I don't quite know how necessarily, because you look at the schedule that we've had and it's not great. I mean, we've won several games here and there. We've currently, we're on 27 matches. So we've moved into that second half of the season a little bit. We've got 12 wins, 6 draws and 9 losses. So it's not amazing, but it's good enough to be where we are. And we're currently sitting in fifth after 27 matches because we had a good start to that second round. But my expectation was avoid relegation. And somehow, either just the fact that we've got a big guy that can head the ball and put it in the back of the net, or we've got a solid back three that's working with a defensive midfielder in front of them, or it's just blind luck, or I don't know, whatever it is, the FM God's smiling on us. Somehow, we are far and above the expectation this evening, this season, sorry, at this point. Now, I don't know where we're going to finish. We've got another 5 games to play, I think it is, just to finish off the 32-game season overall. I am currently 5 points behind an automatic European spot because the top three get a European spot of some sort. But 4, 5, 6, and 7 go into a European playoff to decide one more place, I believe. So I'm guaranteed one of those spots at the least because I finished in the top six for the main part of the season. But there's a chance that we could possibly have a conversation about getting an automatic spot. It's a slim chance. Things would have to go my way, but there is a chance. And I didn't really expect that. So whatever happens this season at this point, it's been really successful. I've really enjoyed watching this team play a little bit and getting the best out of that target forward as much as I can. Next season comes along, whether we're in Europe or we're not, doesn't really change the fact that I think I can improve us in the center of midfield a little bit. I think there's a quality issue there. I think probably one of my defensive three probably needs an upgrade quite significantly if I can find one. Other than that, we're doing all right and we're having a lovely time. So I would imagine that I've probably got another one or two seasons at Colwyn Bay, just continuing to push them a little bit before I start having the question of, is there a better option out there? Have we got the coaching badges that we need to go and get another level up of job somewhere and kind of continue the rolling, you know? But having a great time. The streams have been fantastic. My bunch have always got a bit of a reputation for being quite a lovely community. And, you know, I was missing for a little while and they were very supportive and very loving towards me and all that kind of stuff. But since being back, it's been good. You know, people have been in engaging with what's going on and just having a lovely time. So all in all, it's actually going quite well. And I'm really enjoying this section at Colwyn Bay. The challenge, of course, is that you get to a club where you feel like you can do something and we're achieving something at the moment. I don't know whether it's possible that I can win this league, but I'm going to try in the next 2 seasons. I don't know what it's possible to do in terms of European qualifications and other things, but I'm going to try. It's just that thing in the back of your head. There's a ceiling with them in terms of what you can achieve. What if I don't like the club that I move on to next as much? Because this is a good one, you know, and you've always got to sort of balance that sort of thing up a little bit. But yeah, it's going all right. I'm having a lovely time and we're sitting in fifth, for goodness sake.
It's quite the effort, really, isn't it, all things considered, for your first your first season in the top division. That's good. And it's there's a lot to kind of unpack there, but in a very positive way. I mean, first and foremost, the thing that really resonates for me is how you're saying, like, you're playing a new system, you're playing three at the back.
Yeah.
and you've got it working. Mm-hmm. Because it's such a nice feeling when you try something new, mm-hmm. and it kind of, you know, you have to tweak. It's very rare that you try a new system and it just beds in straight away. You might have to make a few little tactical changes here and there. Yeah. But when it really settles in, you just sit. Sometimes you just sit back and go, "Oh God, I'm the greatest manager on the planet."
So as I say with that, I know that loads of people have been doing this for years. I understand all of that. But it genuinely has been an issue for me. I've never made it work before, and I've always been a back four. It just works in my head better. Yeah. So, yeah, it was just one of those moments where, well, we'll give it another go because the players mm-hmm. seem to be there and all that stuff. And for whatever reason, it's doing all right. And I'm kind of enjoying watching it, which is another lovely thing, you know. But then again, I think in FM24, I'd enjoy watching most things play out because the match engine is just a much better experience. I've really enjoyed it. So
No, it's lovely, isn't it? It really is. I mean, I've had a similar thing with my Ajax side. You know, I've got a three at the back formation. You know, it's very narrow all the way through the middle. Fortunately, I just seem to have wingers that are happy to track back and do a little bit of defending here and there. But it's once it gets going and once the attack starts building, you just sit back. Oh, this is just lovely. Just watching it all unfold is such a nice feeling. And as well, you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, bless. I remember talking to Alice probably around this kind of time, you know, towards the beginning of the FM23 cycle with her FM23 save. I just remember seeing Alice sitting back. Yes, easy, bruv. Yeah, Wales, easy, mate. Easy. Yeah, I'm just going to win everything. I'm just going to win everything, and like it's easy peasy. But it's that formula as well. You've got to play to the strength of your team, and it's also, I think, a little bit about identifying what you need to do to be successful in the league that you're playing in, because you know, as you say, you've got a big lad who can head the ball, you've got a competent back three, and those metrics should be enough to, you know, to get you some kind of success in that division, you know, because that's sometimes all you need to do, especially if you're playing either, you know, lower league football or in a league where, you know, and without trying to sound horrible, the standard of football isn't quite as good as some of the big European leagues. You know, you just need somebody who's either dead good at running or dead good at heading the ball. And that's all they have to be good at. They're not there. It's like, right, okay, so I need somebody who can head, but I need somebody that can track back. I need somebody with good determination. It's like, nah, you're just big and you can just head the big round thing out the sky. That's all your job is. That's all I want you to do. No more, no less. And they'll go, yeah, all right, boss. I reckon I can probably do that.
Yeah.
And So it sounds like you know. It's really weird. It sounds like you know what you're talking about, Kev.
No. Let's not start spreading these malicious rumors.
Hold on now. Hold on.
I don't know. No, I mean, you know, what can I tell you? What can I tell you? That's an interesting question. So, I feel like Football Manager is a game that I really love, and I've loved it for a very, very long time. And pre-content creation for about the last 5 years on YouTube and now Twitch, I feel like I was good because I was choosing reasonably good teams to play my saves with up until that point. Because that's what I found joy in. You know, I'm a United fan. I played a lot of United just because I enjoyed it, whatever. Being a content creator, I have steered away from those big clubs doing the easy things mostly. There are occasionally saves that I've put out on YouTube specifically where that was the intention to play as PSG and try and win a European trophy, for example, for a little while just to do it. But I wouldn't say that I am overly gifted at the game, because I'm one that sort of takes it a little bit more towards the IRL football side of things and want my teams to play IRL types of stuff. There are other people out there that see it as a video game, play it as a video game, make sure they've got the tactical setup and things that work in their video game, and they go and win stuff. I haven't quite managed to figure that thought out. So I don't know how good I am at this game, but I watch a lot of football. And if you just want to chat football, I can do it. It's about how you implement it in the game. So there's, you know, elements where sometimes I surprise myself and actually think, yep, I know what I'm talking about. That all makes sense. And other times I'm sitting in the middle of the stream, losing a 7-match streak, not having a clue how I'm supposed to change it. being in the boardroom four times and going, I have no clue what I'm doing at all in any way, shape or form. Please help. And it swings violently between the two at times. What can I tell you? At the moment, I feel somewhat competent and I'll take it.
No middle ground, no surrender. It's either good or it's not. It's an interesting way of looking at it, I suppose, because as I say, because we've said repeatedly on the podcast before, there's no right or wrong way of playing the game.
Definitely.
Everybody plays the game the way they want to play it. And I think, again, it's that interesting distinction between, you know, approaching it as, right, this is a video game, or approaching it as like, well, in terms of immersive video games, it's one of the more immersive out there, because you are literally creating your own universe, and it's how you approach that. And it's not just the behind the scenes menu-y clicky bits. It's the, how you approach the actual games of football themselves as well. So, and again, you know, you spend enough time playing the game, you do start to accidentally pick bits and pieces up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's, you know, it's nice. Sometimes it's nice to surprise yourself. You know, I've literally got a button on my Stream Deck that I can press where it says tactical strategical, where I'm like, right, I think if I do this and I do this and I do this, something good might happen. And then it happens and I get to press it because I feel really smug. And it's a lovely feeling. It's like, hey, maybe occasionally I do know what I'm talking about. And those occasions are few and far between, but occasionally they do pop up. It's a lovely, lovely feeling.
It is.
It is. It really is. I mean, we've talked obviously about Rolling in the Isles and how it's going and how it's progressing. And there's a couple of little pieces that you kind of mentioned during your update. And it's, you know, about, I suppose when you talk about the life cycle or that you're the cycle of your time at Colwyn Bay before you potentially had to start thinking about doing other things.
Mm.
I think it actually segues really quite nicely into kind of the second half of what we were going to be talking about today. Look at us go.
Segues.
It's like we've done this before, isn't it? Oh, my goodness gracious me. I know.
Let's be fair. You've done this once or twice, and I sit here and nod politely.
Well,
doing it most of the time is fine. So you segue away, my friend. It's all good.
Look at me go. Look at me go. Because I think, you know, we've had a bit of a chat about this before we went live, and it's just worked out really organically and beautifully. Both Kev and myself recently, in terms of the way that we play Football Manager, over the last couple of cycles of FM, we've both jumped into different types of journeyman save. You know, and it's, if you're newer to FM, you're like, what's a journeyman? It's basically where your career just takes you from club to club to club to club, and you move around the world and you accomplish whatever you want to accomplish at your different football clubs. It's basically the bipolar opposite of a one club save. You're just traveling around, living your life, going from club to club, having the best possible time doing so. Kev and I have both done them, you know, and, you know, obviously last year you had your quite incredible homeward bound journey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spent a bit of time in Scandinavia. Obviously this year I'm traveling around the world again, and you're traveling around the British Isles.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just wanted to have a bit of a deeper dive into, you know, how you, because a journeyman save is not the easiest one to do at the best of times. And I think you've kind of hit the nail talking about your Colwyn Bay side. It's, you know, if you compare it to, you know, the first club of the save, say you've got that better connection with the team, you're enjoying it a lot more than you were previously.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the journey of a journeyman save is moving from club to club. And the question really is, it's when you approach that kind of point in the save, when you know that it's coming up, what are the factors, what are the mitigating factors, but you know, that you have to take into consideration when you're considering leaving a club that you may absolutely adore?
Mm-hmm.
But how do you make that difficult decision that it might be time to move on?
There are so many factors for my mind. And it's right across the spectrum of to do with in-game stuff, in-game universe, and where the clubs are at and how good you think they can be, or what the finances are like, or what opportunities are being presented to you as ways to go, and what your end goal is and all that kind of stuff. But there is also a thing of, am I enjoying this club? As I've said, you know, is this resonating with me? Am I really enjoying what I'm doing? And the other thing to say also is, what is my purpose as a streamer playing Football Manager? My purpose is to gather community and entertain them as much as I can in an afternoon, just to give them something to feel that they connect to and belong to, but also just to give them something that's interesting enough that they want to come back again. And within that, there's a load of stuff about when is the right time to move? And do you feel like the group of people are connected to what you're doing? And is there something else they're looking for or wanting you to achieve, etc.? So there's a ton of stuff. If we're looking purely in-game for a minute, from my perspective, there are two major things that I'm always got in the back of my mind. And the first is, what am I trying to achieve in broad strokes across the whole thing that I'm trying to do? And how far towards that can this team go?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, at Colwyn Bay, there is an opportunity for some people to think you have a route that's relatively simple to understand to actually get into the Champions League. You know, you win your fairly small league of 12 teams and you'll get an opportunity to go into one of the qualifying rounds or whatever it is of the Champions League. And that gives you the very first opportunity to think, could I win a Champions League final spot with Colwyn Bay? Because they have the opportunity because they're in the competition. Now, there are some people out there that will be perfectly happy to sit at Colwyn Bay for 20 seasons, build them up, build the coefficiency up of the Welsh League, get them better players, get the finances moving, all sorts of other bits and pieces that would be necessary for you to get Colwyn Bay to the point where they could potentially have a seat at the top table in Europe. That's not really the way it's going to work for me. And the reason that I'm doing a journeyman is because I actually quite like resetting every 3, 4, 5 seasons or whatever and saying, right, something new, something different. Maybe one or two familiar faces that we brought with us, but ultimately a different challenge, different set of teams to go up against. I think it's more interesting for me personally. I like that reset and I like to not know where the next step is coming. And there's the difference of, can I get my club to the top? Or can I get my manager to the top? And I'm trying to get my manager to the top. So for me, it's about those two things. What am I trying to overall achieve? And how close can I get to it with this particular team? And you have to be a little bit ruthless to occasionally say, yes, I could potentially get a Champions League spot with Colwyn Bay. No, I'm not going to get them to the final. But getting to them into that competition is a good point where I've achieved something enough with them to have built my reputation, given myself enough time to build up my coaching badges with them, et cetera, and then go, what's the next step? And the next step might be to go into the second tier of Scottish football or something, potentially, something like that, and build up a side to get them into the Scottish Premier League, and then maybe attract one of the big two teams in Scottish football after 3 or 4 seasons and, you know, end up at somewhere like Celtic. And then again, you have to have that conversation. I can get into the Champions League. How close can I get them to actually getting to the final? Well, probably into the group stages, not the qualifying rounds. And that takes me a step closer. It might, if I stayed there for 10 years, be possible to properly build them into something of a bit of a force to get them higher than the group stages. But do I want to do it that way? Probably not. So I go in, have a few group rounds with someone like Celtic, and then somebody in the Championship of England goes, hello. And you go, okay, let's go there. Now, I can't get them into the Champions League at this point, but I can get them into the Premier League and then attract attention. And so you progress. So that's my kind of thought about how you move and why you move. It's about reputation of club. It's about finances. It's about how close you can get to the vision you're trying to ultimately fulfill. And then just being a little bit ruthless along the way to either say, I'm not enjoying this, or this isn't going to help me, or I need to move because of X. And then just doing it. What about yourself? How do you feel about all of that?
No, I think a lot of that is true. I think for me, the most important thing is, you know, if you're talking about it from approaching it from like a content creation point of view, which I think, you know, both of us have to do, because the vast majority of what we're doing in front of an audience, doing in front of people. The key is always to keep yourself engad with what you're doing. You know, if you go back and if you listen to, like, if when we've, for example, we've had people like Lelouch on the podcast in the not too, you know, in the not too distant past. You know, if you talk to any big content creator, they will always say the same thing to you. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, people watching you aren't going to enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, you can't phone it in. You can't just do something for the sake of doing something. So, I mean, you are completely, you're bang on the head there. Like, if you decided you were going to stay at Colwyn Bay for the next 20 odd seasons, it's more than likely that by the time, you know, 2042 rolls around, you are going to have a Colwyn Bay team that is capable of getting you to a Champions mm-hmm. League final.
Yeah.
However, if you're not going to enjoy that process of very slowly building up that club's reputation, mm-hmm. building up the infrastructure of the club, things like youth facilities, scouting networks, all the things that you have to do if you're going to do what is essentially turns into a one club save. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to enjoy that process, there's no point in you trying to do that in front of people, because they're going to know that you're not enjoying doing what you're doing. Mm. So what's the point? There's no enjoyment for anybody involved there. You know,
yep.
we all say it as streamers. It's funny when your audience, you know, when you take pelters off the audience, it's because they're invested in what you're doing. And when mm-hmm. something bad happens over the course of your save, everyone's like, oh, ha, 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 that's very funny. That's happened. Ha ha ha. But deep down, like it comes from a place of love.
Yep.
I think it does.
Mm-hmm. Well, they keep but coming flip, back again. To carry
well, they keep
on,
coming back, then just in case something funny happens to you again.
Yeah.
But then, at the same time, it's all because they inevitably would like to see you succeed in some capacity. And part of, you know, the enjoyment of success is overcoming mm-hmm. the adversities that are put in front of you. Mm-hmm. Nobody actually wants to just sit around and watch somebody having a bad time playing a game. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that. Nobody gets anything from that. So you've got to keep yourself invested in what you're doing. And if part of that enjoyment is the reset and the new clubs and discovering new players mm-hmm. and falling in love with a new team, that's what's going to keep people invested in what you're yep. doing and what you're creating. And I think that's the most important thing. I think in terms of you definitely have a lot more freedom over what you're doing this year compared mm-hmm. to last, because the homeward bound save, you know, you had a comparatively strict set of parameters. You know, you yes. knew which countries you had to go to, and you knew how mm-hmm. to get which order, and you had time scales, and you had, you know, your own self-imposed rules that made the save mm-hmm. as engaging as it was. Mm-hmm. Whereas with Rolling in the Isles, you are, you know, again, you have your set parameters, you have the countries that you are able to manage in, but the way mm-hmm. you go about it is very much in your control.
Yep.
Which of those do you prefer? Do you like the creative freedom, or do you like the planning stage that goes into it before you even, you know, create the save, because you knowing that you're going to have some form of internal guidance as the save goes on?
Yep. I don't know, really. It's an interesting one, isn't it? That's a good question. Which do I prefer? I mean, I am renowned for sitting on a fence, and I won't. I will mm-hmm. give you an answer, but okay. it would be really easy to sit on a fence because I enjoy them both for different reasons. Yeah. You know, there is that factor of the thing that I've got this time around with Rolling in the Isles mm-hmm. that I didn't have last time around is that this time around you start in lower league stuff. And even starting in lower league stuff is different from starting in higher league stuff, but in a lower reputation league overall, country, if that makes sense. So in my Homeward Bound stuff, I was in the top flight of every league, every country that I was in, but I was not always the top team in that particular league. And there were various short-term parameters that meant that I had to achieve something pretty quickly, otherwise it would go awry for me. Whereas on this occasion, I'm right down in the depths of British football, working my way up from the bottom, but there are no immediate parameters to say, in the next two seasons, Kev, you have to have achieved X. Mm-hmm. I'm working towards my long-term goal of getting to a Champions League final. And that's mm-hmm. pretty much the only thing that I'm doing, really. It doesn't matter what else I achieve along the way, as long as I achieve that. Whereas in Homeward Bound, I had to win a league to get out of it, to move on to mm-hmm. the next thing, to eventually complete the overall thing. So they're different things. Now, there are moments along the way, albeit fleeting at times, but within my Rolling mm-hmm. in the Isles, where Colwyn Bay are motoring, going far and above what I expected to, and thinking to myself, this is pretty good. I'm enjoying mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. But I probably enjoy playing the top leagues more. Probably. Mm. I think partly because before I did any form of content creation, I was doing one club saves, but mostly with fallen giants or teams that had a bit to spend or, you know, whatever, and just enjoying the process of rebuilding something, but at a reasonably high level. I don't ever remember before doing any content playing in the lower leagues of anywhere, to be totally truthful. So there is still an element where I really enjoyed Last FM's save. I didn't enjoy the game as much, but the save, the homeward bound across Europe, trying to win top leagues to move forward, I really enjoyed it because it kind of fit me. I understood it a bit better than lower league management. I sit here still occasionally thinking, how on earth do I get the best out of 11 players on a pitch where their top rating on the, most of their attributes is like 8? I don't. Okay, good. You know, so it doesn't quite fit, but I'm enjoying the save. I really enjoy the route that I'm taking with rolling in the aisles. It's something I've done before. I'm happy to be doing it. But push comes to shove, it would probably be homeward bound. What about you? How does that fit? Where are you in how you see a journeyman and what you like about them?
No, I think that makes sense. I think that does make sense. I think if I compare, if I contrast and compare what I'm doing this year to what we did toward what we did towards the end of last year with the Scandi Triple Crown, for me at the moment, I think the biggest cause of, you know, anxiety in terms of the save itself is what happens next. Because I think, so given the context of what I'm trying to do, you know, with my current stream save, with What's the Story, is, you know, I'm trying to go around and I'm trying to, you know, restore the reputation or, you know, of these formerly great clubs or do things, you know, win competitions they haven't won for a little while. And for me, the hardest part of it, I think, is justifying my decision to go to each club. And it's also about not overstretching it and not going too big too early, you know, because, for example, I'm managing Ajax at the moment. And, you know, somebody has suggested, you know, it's an Ajax team that have done fairly well recently, but, you know, they've not won league titles for a couple of seasons. You know, they've not won domestic competition for quite a few. And I'm thinking, well, if I can win some of those, then that's helping to, you know, reinstate them. And somebody said, stay at Ajax, win a Champions League at Ajax. Because again, they are former European champions. It's been a hot minute, but stay there and do that. On the one hand, I'm thinking, you know, that would be great fun. That would be great. But at the same time, the way I see it, very similarly to yourself with, you know, getting to a Champions League final is the final boss for your manager. Once you've won a Champions League in a journeyman style save, what else is there really to do? You know, once you've done that, like, okay, cool. You've won the Champions League with Ajax. Amazing. What an experience that would be. I'm now going to go and try and win, you know, like the Copa del Rey. Like, who really cares at that point? You've done the most amazing thing. And selfishly, I don't want the save to end that quickly. And I'm very much like yourself. If it's a journeyman save, staying at a club for a prolonged period of time kind of negates the journeyman aspect of it, you know? I'm also a sucker. I fall in love far too easily, Kev. I fall in love with teams far too easily. Like, I could have stayed at Kashima Antlers longer because I was like, the J-League was so much fun. I really, really enjoyed being out there. You know, my San Etienne team, it was so hard to say goodbye to San Etienne because I was just really, really enjoying my time there. I was like, this is great. I've built a really, really fun squad. It's got, you know, it's got commodities where I feel like if I'd wanted to sell to balance the books, there were four players that I could have sold and bought in, you know, £100+ million. Like, that's amazing. And then you can, you know, buy, you know, you sell high, you buy low. I can replace them for £10 million each. That's financial security for the club as well. Like, I've gone back and I've looked at them over the course of the season. I think at one point they were pressured, you know, they were competitively looking at Champions League qualification. I'm like, I've done really well there. I've set them up to be able to do that. This is a really, really nice feeling. Like, Ajax, the free signings that I've gotten coming at Ajax for the next season are amazing.
Yeah.
But then again, if the right job comes up somewhere else, suddenly like, oh, but, you know, does this now mean, is it time to jump ship early doors? What do you do? I find that a lot harder than with last year with the Scandinavian journeyman. I was like, right, my objectives are win the league title in Norway. Just win it. That's all you got to do. Mm-hmm. Once you've won it, you can then move on to Sweden. Once you've done Sweden, you can move on to Denmark. That's easy. And it doesn't matter how you do it. You know, it's like, right, I could manage 15 different clubs. I could manage every club in the league for a season until I do it. Doesn't matter, because all I have to do is win that title. That's the objective. And then you can move on. I think with what I'm doing this year, it feels so much more subjective, you know, because, you know, one person's success might be another person's just, you know, just base level expectation.
Yeah.
So it's harder to balance that.
And but we've both reached the same point, though, haven't we, in that, in the sense of homeward bound and what you were doing last year had much more structure and much more smaller objectives that you knew what they were going to be. And that was kept you moving forward. This time around with My Rolling and with your Former Glory, it's kind of a bit more open-ended. You know roughly what you want to achieve as an overarching thing, but how you do it is completely different. And it talks into the thing that I find myself thinking the most, even if I don't always say it. For example, when I see somebody tweet out, really struggling with FM24 at the moment, need a new save, I've done this, this, and this, but it hasn't really connected and stuff. And my immediate response in my head is, well, what's your story? What are you trying to do it for? Are you wanting to just purely play the game because it's a football management game that you kind of enjoy, but and that's not connecting you? So what is going to connect you? What's your point? What's your long-term, short-term goals? Why choose the team that you are? But, you know, where does that, what does that look like for you? And I think it's the most important thing for you and I. We've got long-term goals of entertaining people for the game cycle of FM24. That's one of our long-term goals, to be here at the end of the cycle, having gone, right, we've played the game, everybody's had a lovely time, onwards we go. Within the game itself, there are long-term goals. For me, you know, it's winning a Champions League. For you, it's, you know, restoring a certain element of something to a particular club that they seem to have lost over time. And then there are medium to short-term goals in some of those as well. But the story threads are there. The reasons for doing it are there. And that's the most important thing. And that is what I love about a journeyman. See, there are going to be so many people listening to this conversation going, well, you're all wrong. What are you doing? It should be this, that, or the other. In lots of ways, it will be, you know, the one club save thing is much better than a journeyman for some people. And that's great. There will be some people saying to me, Kev, what are you talking about? Colwyn Bay, 20 years to get to a Champions League. I can do it in four, and I've done it several times, and I can show you how to do it, because they've got that connection to the video game rather than IRL football or whatever mindset that's different to mine, a way of playing it. There's a great, you know, there's a great difference in how we all play it. I'm going to give a shout out to Rakia, who's in my chat sometimes, and can occasionally come across as somebody that just is a little bit out there in terms of they've got very, very definite ideas on something. Plays FM so differently to me, but is seemingly more successful at it. But I cannot bring myself to play it in the way that they do. It's all about their finances. And they will walk into a squad and go, nope, all of them gone. And now I've got a chunk of money and I'm going to go. And I can't do it. I kind of have to do it piecemeal and bit by bit and build and shape and, you know, all that. Just people doing different things. So there are going to be loads of people that don't get this conversation or the perspective that we've got. I would be more scared of saying for 2 months before FM25 comes out, I have chosen my team. This is my team. I'm going to take them from the sixth tier of English football to Champions League glory. I'd be more scared that in 4 weeks I'd be in the boardroom and out the club, and now what am I supposed to do with my 25 cycle? And I've got some connection to the club because they've seen my tweets and have gone, yeah, we support Kevin. We're going to make him our official FM player. And 4 weeks in, I'm out the club because I've been sacked. I'd be more scared of that than doing a journeyman series and figuring out when to move and how to move. I just don't know how people do it. I'd love to be able to. There's an element of connecting to a club and being all that stuff that I think is amazing. I'd be so scared. I genuinely would. And I don't know how they manage it.
I know. Bonk says, hi, Callum. We love you.
Hi, Callum. You.
Hi, Callum. Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? Like, again, I look at, use Bill Slough as the, you know, the flip side of the coin to the conversation we're having about a journeyman save.
Yep.
I love Callum save.
Yep.
I absolutely love it. I love the connection he has to the club. Mm-hmm. I love his passion for it. It's quite incredible. But again, always in the back of my head, I'd have that, but what if? What if suddenly? What if form isn't going that well? But it's hard. And that's when, I think that's when I'd find it again. It's that conversation of how you play the game. You know, it's, again, I will always cite him as the best example I can think of. Daljit, bust the net.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Daljit plays the match engine every single year. That's how Daljit plays FM. And that is one of the reasons he's very, very good at Football Manager, is because he just understands the match engine every single year. You know, I'll always cite that when he when he did the Tony Jameson versus the Community, where Tony just used to play people one by one by one, and he played against Daljit, and he's like, right, this is my next formation, and what this formation is going to do, the match engine is not going to know how to handle this player, and this player. It's going to put players out of position trying to cover the positions it thinks they should be in. They'll have other people that just go through the middle, and they're going to, and it happens 30 seconds after he's explained it, and you're like, that's incredible.
Yep.
You know, it's like when they're watching Morpheus and Neo fighting in the Matrix, and they're watching all the little they're watching the numbers on the screen. They're like, oh wow, this is amazing. It's like, how does he do it? He's a wizard. With a save like Callum's Bill Slough save, that's where I'm going to be tempted to abandon kind of like the footballing principles, go, right, this is the kind of football that I want to play, this is what I want to do. But like, right, I need to succeed, and the best way to succeed is to understand how to beat the match engine.
Yeah,
which then detracts from my enjoyment of playing the game, because it's almost setting and going, well, I know exactly what's going to happen here, and am I really succeeding to the extent I wanted to succeed? Am I doing it in the right way? Does that cheapen it? I don't know. I don't know. And that is not for a second, by the way, what I'm trying to imply that Callum is doing in any way, shape, or form, because he's playing the game like wonderfully. He's telling a wonderful, wonderful story. But because I would do that, because I would always have that fear of the sack hanging over the back of me, and it's not a nice feeling to have additional pressure that you know you're almost putting on yourself from the offset. Some people won't do it, some people won't feel that, other people, me included, absolutely will.
That's just
who I am as a person.
You've never seen Lelujo at the beginning of a cycle go, we're going to go and try and do our what's his one, Road to Legends or Non-League to Legend, sorry, that's his one, isn't it, Non-League to Legend. So you never hear him say, we're going to try, but if in 3 months we get the sack, we'll kind of do something else or whatever. He just goes, well, we're going to do Non-League to Legend and we're going to succeed at it. And when was the last time you saw Lelujo get sacked from the one team that he wanted to play Non-League to Legend from day one all the way through to the end? It just doesn't happen very often, does it, really? He kind of goes, he knows the structures, he knows the systems, he plays the game, and he goes and succeeds at what he wants to do. And it's pretty good. And he doesn't have any doubt as to what's going on with that at all. And I'd be racked with doubt as to my ability to pull it off every year. I just would. But he plays the game differently. He looks at the game differently. He, you know, feels the game very differently. And that's great. You see, this is the thing, isn't it? It reverts back to you play it your way in the way you want to. And whether you're successful or not is not as important as how much enjoyment you get from it. And ultimately, I enjoyed my game. But this is exactly it. There's no right or wrong.
No, exactly. Again, my advice would always be, if you're listening to this conversation and saying, hey, I've never tried a journeyman save before, absolutely start one. Start one this afternoon. Start one right now.
I hadn't before doing content creation. I really hadn't. I was always stuck in my ways of playing the same sort of saves in the same way. And I thoroughly enjoyed doing something different. Now, there is a moment where occasionally I just want a reasonably good team with a reasonably good budget and, you know, have a go for a few days just for the sake of doing it, i.e. Chelsea in the beta that we all did as a collective on the podcast, because it was so different than what I knew I was going to do for the rest of the game cycle. And that's a lot of fun. But there's a lot of fun to be had in moving and reshaping it and, you know, just diving in and out of different clubs with different philosophies and different end points and, you know, achievements and stuff. So, there's so many ways to enjoy this game.
Exactly. Give it a try. Just do it. When right now, if you have the capacity, just start up a journeyman save. And again, you can do it your way. You can, you know, do what Kev's done. Start clubless, badgeless, build up from there. You know, give yourself a couple of badges, you know, pick a, you know, give yourself a team that you want to start with, you know, do, you know, structure it a little bit. You know, you don't, mm-hmm. you don't have to go in blind, because again, that can be overwhelming. I tried it before I did content creation. I tried to set up a journeyman once, and I think I ended up in a Eastern European country mm-hmm. with no badges, no sense of like link to the club, couldn't get on board with it. And I was like, oh, this is rubbish. I think I'm just going to stop. I think I played half a season before I just went, ah, it's not for me. And then went off and did something else instead. Like, but just it's your world, your rules, however you want to do it. But give it a go. Let us know how you get on.
Yeah,
drop it, you know, drop us a message. Drop, you know, drop it. If you've done it, come back to this video in a couple of weeks' time. Be like, hey, you'll never guess what I've done. You'll never guess how it's going for me. Like, this is it. I love it. I get some of the guys that pop in my chat when I'm streaming. Like, you know, shout out, lovely Tommy, who redeemed so many hydrations. I think he is genuinely trying to drown me. Every time Tommy pops in, he'll pop it. You know, I might not see him for a couple of streams. He comes back, oh yeah, you never guess where I'm managing now. I'm like, I won't, but I'd love to find out. It's brilliant. It's like, yeah, I'm managing in Argentina now. It's like, you were in League One last time we spoke. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, now I'm in Sweden. Of course you are. Because of course you are. But it's great. He just moves around. He has a lovely time at these clubs. Give yourself the opportunity to mm-hmm. give it a try.
Yeah.
Let us know how you do. We genuinely would like to know.
We would. And anybody that's taken Colwyn Bay to a Champions League final, how long did it take you? Come on, be honest. Let me know. I'd love to know.
Yeah, it's four seasons, mate. Four seasons.
Yeah. Easy peasy. Somebody's going to have done it in yeah. ridiculous
of course
time.
They have. Yeah. Of course they have. Ah, bless them. Well, good luck to them. Whoever that was, good luck to you.
Indeed.
I hope you continue to do well forever. this has been good. I've really enjoyed this.
It's been fun. It's
this has been lovely. Because this is the thing, because like, I've thought about this. It's one of these things that's always popped into my head. I was like, I'd love to really like talk journeymans with Kev. Like, mm-hmm. really, really get in there. And then I forget about it because that's just mm-hmm. who I am as a person. And then it popped into my head this morning as I was doing a few bits. I was like, right, that's the yep. plan for today. That's what we'll do. So thank you, mate.
Yeah, cool. No, it's good.
Lovely.
It's a great way to play the game. It just is. It is. You know, it's not the way. It's not the wrong mm-hmm. way. It's just a great way to do it.
Yeah, no right or wrongs, but it's just a fun way of doing it. Mm-hmm. Don't know about you, mate.
Go on.
But after all that, I reckon that's probably a podcast.
I mean, it certainly was, although I'm not sure it's totally complete just yet.
It is not just
no.
yet. It is not just yet.
We might have one or two little bits just to talk about. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one thing mm-hmm. I would like to actually say, we didn't actually talk about this particularly, although we mm-hmm. have talked about it in another context behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. I'd like to mention the Super League. The Super League
yes.
has just slightly gone by the wayside. Murph and I think Gav were the two guys that were behind it most mm-hmm. recent iterations of it. And they've decided they have to take a step back from doing so because it takes a lot to actually run it and organize it and figure it out. And their work commitments were too hard to do it. So big shout out to those two because it was a great competition, had a lovely time participating both as a competitor and a panelist here and there dotted through their time doing it. But it just demonstrates again that the whole setup of draft mode in and around the community at the moment is going for a little bit of a shift, it feels like. There's some very good competitions out there doing some good stuff and giving opportunities for people to play. But there are others going by the wayside a little bit, and the Super League is one of those. So shout out to them. But yeah, if there's an opportunity for anybody to play a draft mode, please, please do. And the second thing that I'd like to say that we didn't actually talk about, but we need to talk about, Rich, we need to do one. We need one. We need an FMT versus the community. And let's see if we can put one in the next month or so somewhere.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's going to be a good thing for us to get back to doing. Again, we need to do that more regularly than we are. Now, whether we can get all four of us in there, it doesn't really matter. Any combination of all four of us in and around a community draft, I think is a good thing. So we need to do that. And the last thing that I'll mention is something that we mm-hmm. did talk about doing, and that is just mentioning our FM awards that are still yes. upcoming. In the next couple of weeks, there's going to be opportunities in and around social media to vote on a few categories and a few potential possible winners of categories, etc. So keep an mm-hmm. eye on that because we are still doing them. They are upcoming, the FM mm-hmm. awards, you know, so it'll be things like Streamer of the Year, YouTuber of the Year, Blogger of the Year, Short Form Content, Long Form Content, Educational Video of the Year, New Personalities, Newcomer Overall, all sorts of stuff. Keep an eye out for it and get involved when it's out there and send it around your network of people that play FM and get them involved as well. So that is coming. Watch out for that in the next couple of weeks. Have I missed anything out, Rich?
No. What you've done there, Kev, is quite astutely, you've mentioned the FM AFMT Awards, which, as I say, are coming up. So just from exciting look behind the curtain for you all, as I said, working in education, half term is coming up very, very soon. So I'm actually going to have a little bit of time. So we're going to get some shortlisting done. And we're going to get some stuff out there on social media. So please keep your eyes peeled for it. The other thing that I want to talk about, which somebody, I can't remember, somebody brought it up the other night when I was streaming. And when they mentioned it in my chat, I was like, that is a really, really, really good idea, was another FMT versus the community draft. So you've read my mind. You've read my bloody mind. So we will get one in the diary. We haven't done one for a hot minute, but they're loads of fun. It's a friendly draft competition. You can come in, hang out, do some drafting with us, play some Football Manager, and everybody has a lovely old time. So,
and it will help me to figure out how I'm going to try and combat Limo, because he's going to be my next contender for my Football Manager World Heavyweight Championship. So come and help me figure out how to play a 4-4-2. Hi, Limo. I know you're watching or listening. I'm trying to figure out a way in which I can beat you. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love Limo to bits.
He's one of the absolute best. One of the absolute best. So much time for Limo. Wonderful, wonderful man. OG FM, FMT guest as well. One of the first guests that we ever had on the podcast as well. So tell you what, go back and check out Limo's episode. I look younger. I look more awake. It's really weird. Tony's also there. So that's always a good thing. People like Tony.
Who?
Tony Hamison.
I remember
non-union Mexican equivalent. He was great, but you know, you say it, that's the one thing I'd like to leave it on, Kev, is that, you know, when you talk about Limo, you say he's your next competitor for Football Manager World Heavyweight title. I see him as more of your next victim. So there you go. Kev Lesnar's back.
What I said to him and everybody else on a tweet recently, where it comes to my Football Manager World Heavyweight Championship, no fence, no Mr. Nice Guy, just a title, and it's mine.
That's why I will never put myself forward for any kind of competition that involves the heavyweight title, Kev, because I'm scared, to be honest with you. There's a fire in his eyes.
I scared myself then, it must be said.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Can I go and lie down somewhere now?
Yes, but it's a good idea. It's a good idea. Before we head off, Kev, before we head off and leave it, if people would like to watch you rolling in their aisles over the course of the next week, where can they find you doing so?
You can find me at Jebaru on... No, that's not the right one. No. He's doing Morecambe, isn't he? Go check out Jebaru. You can find me at Ycallum... No. Bill Slough. He's doing Bill Slough. Bill Slough. Go check him out. I'll let you do yours. I could have carried it on and done yours as well, but I'll let you do yours in a second. You can find me at the United City FM pretty much every weekday afternoon over on Twitch at 3 till 5pm doing my rolling in the aisles and having a lovely time doing it. You can find me also on Twitter and in my Discord and stuff like that if you need to communicate with me in any way, and I'll update you my schedule there. But that's where you'll find me primarily, having a lovely time. Watch out this week. Jeb's not here as we speak, but we'll hope to get a network save in at some point this coming week. So watch out for that, because we're having a really great time doing them. It's one of the highlights of my week at the moment is the network saves, even if it is just clicking continue on a transfer window that we did last time out, because that's all I did all evening, I think. But yeah, it's good fun. So come check us out there. What about you, Rich? Are you doing all of the twitchy, twittery, twitching stuff? And if where can people find you?
I might be doing a bit of twitching. Maybe a bit of twitching going on. You know, meet twitch.tv/ richardowens.fm.
Thanks, Colton.
Cheers, Colton. Yeah. twitch.tv/richardowens.fm. There will be some, fingers crossed, there will be some What's the Story happening this week. We'll be finishing up our first season with Ajax.
Nice.
I might win the league. I might not. Who knows? Things have happened. Developments. So please come and hang out and watch me panic as I either do or don't do that. Obviously, if we can, we're going to try and confirm a network save date. Now, if you're listening to this publicly, It may have already happened. It may be happening on Monday night, which is why you should all be following us on Twitter. Oof. We don't really talk about that. We're not specific with our things very often. Mm-hmm. It's at FMTPod on Twitter. And that is where we announce when we're going live for the network game. We try and shout out, I'm in control of it. So if I have the opportunity and I can just, hey, somebody's going live, I like to try and do that as often as frequently possible, especially if they're not Kev and they don't have schedules. So if we just do it as and when we can. See, Kev, we all know Kev, 3 till 5, Monday to Friday, baby. That's the way it works. Prime Kev time.
We also have a Discord as well that people can come jump in and chat with us as well behind the scenes about all sorts of randomness, like Jeb's red boots that lasted 10 minutes and his most recent five-a-side football match.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of stuff. You know, you're missing out if you're not in there. See, that's the thing.
Who do you think he is? Ronaldinho, coloured boots, black and white boots. Them's the best boots.
Of course.
Come and hang out. But all the links, there is a link in the description of this video, in the description of the podcast, however you're watching or consuming this, there is a link that literally says all our links. It's a link tree. All of our bits and pieces are on there. Do us a follow on Twitter. Hop in the Discord, have a chat with us, because when we announce things, we tend to do it on there. So keep your eyes peeled on the socials. So if you're ever listening to this on a Tuesday and going, oh, I wish I'd known they were doing it on Monday night, well, you could. You have the opportunity to know these things. Just bless yourself. Treat yourself to a bit of knowledge. You know,
and remember, go and ask D-Boy whether he can play Beethoven.
Yes, ask D-Boy if he can play Beethoven. That's with his arm, probably with his arms tied behind his back, the talented swine. God, I hate him. I don't. I love him. He's brilliant. Don't. What a boy. What an absolute boy. Kev, thank you so much for spending some time with me today. It's massively
pleasure has been mine, my friend. Pleasure has been mine.
Wonderful. And thank you as well. Thank you, audience. We appreciate you as well. Because without you, there is still a podcast. It's just us talking to ourselves for a bit, isn't it?
But you did record it, didn't you, Rich?
I've pressed something. We'll see. Cool. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Right. Thank you very much, everybody. We appreciate you. As always, thank you for joining us for another episode of Football Manager Therapy. And we will see you on the next one. Take care. Love you lots. Bye-bye.